Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and we are on page XXIX. And the paragraph today is the second full paragraph, Men Have Cried Out to Me. Okay, the reference numbers for Tuesday, January 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern is 21,042, 21042. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern, Wednesday, January 17th, 21,044, 21044. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And let me just back it up because I missed a line. Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Eileen M., who will read A Vision for You, and Alex K. is our backup. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Joanne.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan, for your service. And thank you for everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island. And I am working on my recovery one day at a time. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons wronged and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And we will now ask Linda B. to join us and read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. My name is Linda. I am a recovering compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are currently in The Doctor's Opinion on page XXIX, second full paragraph, Men Have Cried Out to Me in Sincere and Despairing Appeal. And I will now ask Cara L. to begin reading. Thank you, Cara.
Thank you, Susan. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Men have cried out to me in sincere, despairing appeal. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Good morning, my fellows. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater. And I didn't say that to a doctor. I said that to my husband. On the day I woke up and I said, I can't diet anymore. I don't understand. I've always been able to, you know, starve myself and lose weight. And I don't know about you, but this is what my day looked like now. It was, I woke up every morning with a renewed vigor that this would be the day. I would have a diet breakfast. I would compulsively eat throughout the whole entire day. I would be demoralized and dejected, and I would make a promise for the next day. And I would wake up the next morning with renewed vigor and eat my
Susan,
breakfast.
We can't hear her.
You can't hear me?
I can hear her.
Okay, now we can, yeah.
It would happen over and over and over. And I didn't know. It was like me, you know, appealing to Dr. Silkworth. You know, I don't have an answer. And that, from that moment, was the moment I began to recover. The moment that I discovered I didn't have an answer. There was
something I could
not fix. There was something that I could not fix myself, and that I had to have a power greater than myself. It was from that moment when I cried out in despair. And so today, I have to do that every morning.
Hello, I'm Barbara from New Jersey. I can't hear you.
Okay, everybody take a breath. Perhaps turn your volumes up. I can hear Cara clearly. Perhaps turn the volume up on the side of your phone. I'm not quite sure, but I think we can hear quite clearly. Cara, sorry to all the interruptions.
Yeah, I can hear her just fine.
Few minutes. Okay. Everyone, mute yourself except for myself and Cara. And Cara, please take an extra 30 seconds. Thank you.
No, no problem. No problem. So I had to get to this state, this disillusionment that I had power to fix something before I could begin recovery. And I have to be at that state every single morning in my life. I have to get up in the morning, and instead of having renewed vigor, I need to get up with this. I cannot fix this myself. I must have a power greater than myself. And how I got to that power greater than myself and how I got to where I am today is working these steps. So that's what I have to do every single day. I wake up. I tell my higher power, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. And I work these steps to the best of my ability. And with that, I pass, and I look forward to hearing from everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Cara, so much. Before we carry on, if you came in the middle of Cara's share, so we're clear on where we are, page XXIX, in the doctor's opinion, men have cried out to me. It's the second full paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. When you give me your names for sharing, please give me your first name, your last initial, and let us know where you are calling in from. Who would like to share with us on this paragraph this morning?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey.
Thank you, Barbara. Who else would like to share with us this morning?
Carrie M. from Wyoming.
Carrie from Wyoming, you're going to have to clear your line somehow or pick up your phone because it's very crackly, but you'll be our second one. We'll try. Who would like to share after Carrie?
Jody E.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you. Take two more in this first round. Or not. All right, let's pause there for now. I will let you know when it's 3 minutes. Barbara W., please come in and join us and share on this lovely paragraph.
Happy New Year to everybody. I'm just getting back on because I lost contact with the whole thing. But I thank God that I am in recovery and I am not eating compulsive. And I just wanted to share a few minutes on the doctor's opinion, what he was talking about, that chapter there that I had been over it and over it so many times, and I had a very difficult understanding it. But as I continue with it over and over, God has helped me to understand what this big book is talking about, that I have a disease of compulsive overeating and eating the wrong types of foods that will make me sick, set me up, or so forth or whatever. But I'm so thankful that I have been in this program a year, and he has taught me I'm supposed to eat and what I'm supposed to eat healthy. And for my condition, my chronic conditions that I go through daily, I ask God in my daily prayer to guide me, to help me, and it's your will for my life. And at my age, and I'm thanking him that I'll be 69 years old the end of this month. And he's teaching me. And I was, oh, my goodness, I'm too old for this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm doing it. I'm taking it day by day. And I'm walking in his will with this program because it works. And I'm telling people, those that want it, or maybe this big book. This big book is the Bible for our condition, my condition, everyone in this group's condition if we let it in. Thanks for letting me share, and I'm glad I'm back on with my phone. The phones has been a problem, but thank God.
Thank you, Barbara. Next, let's see, Carrie Y. in Wyoming. Let's see how your line sounds. Would you like to join us? Star one to unmute, Carrie. We'll come back to you. Perhaps you have to dial back in. Let's go over to Jody E. Jody, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E. Very gratefully recovered in California. So the doctor is saying, you know, these alcoholics have come to him in despair, asking, pleading for help. They are powerless over alcohol. Powerless. I must stop, but I cannot. That has been my experience as well. That was my experience. I could not stop. I could not stop attempting to control my eating. I was able to control my weight, but not my eating and not my compulsion. I figured out how to control my weight with restriction, but I could not do anything about the compulsion until I found this program, and I found this book, and I found this meeting, and I found this solution. That, as it says in the previous paragraph, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems, she despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds themselves easily able to control their desire for the foods that trigger the allergy of the body. That is my experience. I do not want those foods today. And I can eat my abstinent foods serenely, without compulsion. It's one thing to be abstinent. It's another thing to be recovered, to be neutral around the food. And that is the miracle that this book, that this program offers us. And it is possible for you just as much as it is for me. I just needed to get abstinent entirely from all the ingredients and foods and behaviors that were triggering my allergy, and then work these steps as if my life depended upon it, because it does. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody, so much. Before I take the next round, Carrie from Wyoming, were you able to unmute or get back on the line? Would you like to share if you're here? Okay, perhaps not. Okay, so as a reminder, if you're coming in halfway, we are on page XXIX in the doctor's opinion, and the paragraph we are discussing is Men Have Cried Out to Me. Who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Sherry H.M. R.W. from New Jersey.
Who was from New Jersey? Someone.
Laura W. Okay. from New Jersey.
Laura, sorry, that's right. I forgot you before. Sorry. Okay. Anyone else?
Jordan L.
Hi, Jordan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Colorado. Okay. Everyone must have shared on Monday.
Mary Ellen.
Go with these. Mary Ellen. Okay. You can take one more.
Linda B. from Ontario, Canada.
Thank you, Brenda.
Linda.
Okay. Well, Linda, I'm so sorry.
No
Let's
problem.
Go with this round, and then we'll see where we are. Sherry H.M., please join us.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. This is Sherry H.M. I'm sorry, my timer's going off. Sorry about that. And I'm gratefully recovered for several years. And this is an amazing little few sentences because that was me. How did I do this? Doctor, gosh, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. And, you know, that was me. I was just, I had all kinds of medical bills from ankylosing spondylitis and lupus and lots of out-of-pocket medical bills. And I thought, okay, I better get back on a diet. And then I remembered that about 6 years before, my friends in Al-Anon told me about OA, and I remembered they had lost weight, and, you know, of course, that was, that tickled my ears. Oh, yay, and they kept it off for years. So anyway, I learned soon by coming to this vision, you know, that really it's about working the steps. It's about, you know, I can't do it. I could never, ever do it. But my higher power, God, could do it for me. And I just am so amazed. I thought that will never be me. I, you know, they don't know how bad my problem is. But I was stuffing my face with all kinds of, especially sweets. That was my big thing. And I couldn't imagine life without it. And I didn't even know I wanted to live without it. So here we are, like 9 years later. And I really don't think about it, except that I don't want it. Like the book says, I recoil from it like a hot flame. And my gosh, this does work, but it's about sanitizing my heart. We spent so much time sanitizing our hands a few years ago with the pandemic, but I have to work those steps to sanitize my heart. If I don't do that, I'll be back into the arms of the refrigerator. And then go down to that elevator of shame and I won't ever do this again. So I'm so grateful to be here. And thank you so much for all your service. And it really does work. So have a great day, everybody. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Laura W. in New Jersey.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. You know, I remember in February of 1997, I woke up one morning and I was in so much physical pain because my knees were so bony that, and I was so underweight that I could not literally move, but I had to get up and go run. I had to go for my run. And I remember that I didn't have a doctor at the time that I was talking to about this. I had a therapist, but she was just as sick as I was. And I remember going in, I was very young at the time, and I went into my parents' room and I said, I can't do this anymore. I need help. And my father had a good friend who was in a treatment center, had gone to a treatment center for alcoholism. And it was a Sunday morning, and that Thursday I was on an airplane to a treatment center, and this was a 12-step treatment center, and this was where I was given my first big book, which I have in my hand right now. And, you know, I had everything to live for. I could not stop. I tried everything. I tried, you know, moderate eating, and I tried intuitive eating, and I could not stop restricting, and then, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks go on a binge. And until I discovered this program and until I discovered the 12 steps and this, what the solution was, because the disease allows me to forget everything except the disease. So I needed a brainwashing. I needed a new way of thinking instead of always thinking that this was the right way and something bad was going to happen if I didn't do things this way. So that's where the 12 steps came into my life. It hasn't always been smooth. I haven't always been recovered, but thank you, God, for the last 19 years, I have not had to restrict or purge through exercise. And that's not me. That is not me doing this. That is simply one day at a time working these steps, crying out for help when I need help, which is pretty much every day. So I'm grateful that I'm not on this path and I'm not trudging this road of happy destiny by myself. Thanks for being here. I pass.
Thank you, Laura, so much. Next, Jordan L. in Colorado.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Sincere and despairing appeal. Oh, I think that was the only time that I expressed emotion prior to recovery was, God, when I was despairing, you know, when I'd reached the end of my rope. I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot, you know. I relate to those words, and I know what it feels like to be in that sort of despairing place or desperate place, with no place left to go, you know. It was definitely like that when I came in to OA for the first time in 2012. It was like, I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. I must lose this weight. But I can't imagine life without ice cream. I just couldn't do it. and so for me, I had to exhaust all of my willpower, all of my human resources. I had to exhaust all of those things before I was willing to turn to something like spirituality, a spiritual solution to help me with what I thought was a food problem, but was actually a life problem disguised as a food problem, you know? I get that. I get the, I must stop, but I cannot. And I get why that is. It's because this is a disease and willpower is no defense against it. I had to come to understand. I had to come to believe that I was like beyond human aid, you know? Because for me, there was no other way that I was going to turn to spirituality in any sort of sincere manner and demonstrate that willingness that is necessary when we're working the 12 steps, you know? So I'm very grateful to have had this experience, and I'm very grateful that I get to stay here, and I get to continue to share about it, and I get to continue to hear about it from all of you too. So
that's time, Jordan.
Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you. Next we have Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary Ellen T. Zentango from Oregon, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered just for today. Thank you, God. I'm making an effort to reach out and share my experience, strength, and hope. It's been, I've been a vision for you for about 5 years, but spoke rarely. It's just been pretty scary to speak, but I love the encouraging words that I've heard other people share, which is we want to hear new voices, or you know, I don't know what I'm going to say either when I speak. I just do it, and I just pray that higher power give me you know, the words to share my experience with you guys. And so it's with some nervousness that in a beating heart, hard beating heart, that I'm sharing. But I feel like it is a piece of my recovery that higher power is really pushing me to do, which is to experience, to share my experience. I was instructed when reading the big book to pay attention to the musts, and you know, the must in here to me reflects the desperation that I felt. And I remember going into a vitamin store and asking them if they had any supplement or something I could spray in my nose that would make me want to stop eating, because I just couldn't stop eating, and I didn't understand that. I went to a hypnotist as well, and you know, I think that, you know, we all can identify with all the different things that we've tried to do to get rid of this feeling, this compulsion, this powerlessness, and the desperation of wanting to be free from it. And I looked up the definition of powerlessness, and it's devoid of strength or resources, devoid of resources. And so, you know, I heard somebody share in the earlier meeting that this paragraph really reminds them of the real help that they needed. And I love that reference, being able to turn this around. You know, the real help that I needed was to be free from my allergic ingredients, and then start turning towards a spiritual program, and to learn to become altruistic and to give, which has been one of the bigger blessings of my recovery. I've had to identify my allergic ingredients, because I really balked at recognizing that I was powerless over fats. You know, I really felt like it was the sugar, and I didn't touch it, and I recoiled from it appropriately. But then I really struggled with fats, and I wanted to experiment with it in all sorts of different ways to see if I could eat those nuts this way or that way, you know, kind of like Dr. Seuss. Can I eat them in a box? Can I eat them with a fox? Can I eat them here? Can I eat them there? And finally, you know, I put down those nuts and the cheeses and the fats a few years later, and then up top.
Sorry, that's time, Mary Ellen.
Yeah, thank you so much. And so I'm just really grateful that I've learned to identify the compulsion of food behaviors and to be able to eat more free. I pass.
Thank you for your share. And next we have Linda B. in Ontario.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. I'm Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I can't go on like this. I don't know how many times I have said that, and to myself and to others, and not just around food, around living, the insanity of it all. And I've been in and out of program for a while, and I've come to see that I placed abstinence ahead of relying upon my higher power. I was taught that abstinence was to be the most important thing in my life. And I'm not saying that abstinence is not important. It is important. But I put so much emphasis on that connection with my higher power became secondary. And it's only been recently that I have realized that needs to be my priority, to have trust in the God of my understanding and rely upon the God of my understanding, and how important it is in order to stay abstinent. And I could stop eating compulsively for periods of time, but it wasn't a peaceful time. I was still fighting internally. And I'm starting to experience more peace. I don't want to call it a psychic change. I'm afraid to call it a spiritual awakening. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm feeling different. There has been a shift, an internal shift, and the food is quieter. The food is quieter, and I want it to stay that way. So I just wanted to share that this morning with everyone that's here. And I credit this meeting, the shares, the meetings I attend on Zoom. They've all been so very, very helpful. And I want to say I think I'm turning a corner, but I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. And if that happens, I guess maybe that's what needs to happen. And I will surrender, and I will trust that what needs to happen going forward is what needs to happen. But today, and it's just for today, the food is quiet. And I'm so very grateful for that. And thank you, everyone. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda. And before we take the next round of names, because we have time, just a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And a reminder of the paragraph we are on in the doctor's opinion, page XXIX, Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal. That is the paragraph we are commenting on this morning. Who would like to share next? Please give me your first name, last initial, and the state you're calling in from.
Larry G. from California.
Larry G.
Marilyn K. from Oregon.
Diane, Virginia.
Oregon. Diane in Virginia.
Thank you.
Megan
Keith from
California.
Florida.
Megan from where? I'm sorry.
California.
Thank you. And there was somebody right after you.
Vicky T. from Florida.
Hi, Vicky. Okay, let's start with these people and see where we go. Larry G., please join us. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Larry G. from California. Reading this today, this makes me emotional. And why shouldn't it? This is where I came into a vision for you. My first sponsor took me through the steps beginning with a doctor's opinion. And when I read a doctor's opinion through the eyes of a compulsive eater, and I was so beaten down on May of 2020. I was in the depths of despair. I was open, and I realized how wrong I'd been. The 20 years I'd been in OA, I had an allergy, never saw that I had the abnormal mind. And despair is a good thing. I was wondering this morning as we were reading this, how many people have met God? God has come to them through their moment of despair. I can't manufacture anything. I can't manufacture surrender. I tried, tried reading about it, you know, tried affirmations, tried talking my way into it. But it's a phenomenon. It's to me a miracle. I experienced a miracle on May 2020 because one moment I couldn't put the food down, the next moment I was recoiling like a hot flame. And I love Appendix 2. It talks about all the different. Bill describes the spiritual experience in many different terms, and I'm the kind of guy, I can't moderate, I cannot incrementally detox off a certain food. It's got to be all or nothing for me. And God made that possible through my despair. I threw the entire white flag in. Prior to that, I was ripping off a piece at a time, saying, okay, God damn it, here you go, God. I'm surrendering, here's a piece of the flag. It doesn't work with God. It doesn't work with me. And on May 2020, I threw the whole flag in. I was done. And from that has become the most amazing life. And I didn't believe you when people were telling me, Larry, you know, your things are going to change beyond your wildest imagination. I couldn't get through 15, 20 minutes, an hour, as I was detoxing off of carbs. My sponsor just kept telling me, life is going to get sweet. And life has gotten very sweet. I have meaning today, purpose, fulfillment. I just had a total knee replacement that was needed. And the two things I was terrified most was become addicted to the narcotic, the painkiller, and gain weight. And I prayed my ass off and begged God. And what ended up happening is that my body rejected the narcotic. I've not been on any pain meds except for Tylenol. And I've actually lost weight. I'm consciously eating less, not dieting, but, you know, going to God and asking today this meal to be blessed. And miraculously, I have had great recovery on my knee, and this extra weight has been just a godsend. Thank you for your service. I pass it back to you.
Thank you, and wishing you a speedy recovery. Next, we have Marilyn Kay in Oregon. Marilyn, star one to unmute. Unless I got your first name wrong.
I'm Marilyn Kay from Oregon, and I listen to Vision for You often in the morning. I don't share very much, but I felt called to share. About 10 years ago, I was so frustrated with grazing and eating in the evening hours. And I remember going back to my bedroom, sitting on my chair, and just pleading to God, I just can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. and I have not grazed after dinner ever since then. And I know it's a miracle, and each day I need to get on my knees and sit in my chair and meditate and ask God to be with me, to help me, because it's the only way for all the shares and the leadership that comes from Vision for You. And I'll pass.
Thank you. Okay, and next, I didn't catch the last initial, but I have Diane. Can't really read my scribble. I think Diane from Virginia. Sorry, I scribbled quickly on that one. Okay, we'll go to Megan in California, and then hopefully maybe Diane.
It took
Diane
me a while to get here. Oh, Diane is here. I'm sorry.
Great, thank you, Diane. No problem. Go ahead.
Thank you for waiting. I am Diane. Diane B. I'm currently in Virginia. I do live in Seattle most of the time. Sincere and despairing appeal. So I am a sugar addict, and I've been recovered over 10 years. However, I will say in the past few months and the happenings of the world, I didn't realize it, but I became, I've relapsed in my spiritual practice. And something, knowing that it was my higher power, reminded me of this meeting, which actually I didn't know there was a 10 o'clock over, which I could have listened to on the West Coast, but here I am on the East Coast back in. And as soon as I realized what was available for me and what has always been available for me, and one of the things I've learned over the years is how easily I forget everything. But it took me to a period of despair. And my higher power led me here before it spiraled completely out of control to have me lose what I'm going to call my sobriety for my alcoholic food. So I am so grateful to be back here and listening, and particularly I felt that my soul had been injured, and when I hear the psychic change described as a change in my soul, it just resonated, and I'm so happy to be here and to be able to share what I'm going through. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane. Next, we have Megan in California. Megan, if you can give us your last initial, please.
Hi, good morning. This is Megan Q in California, and I'm so nervous sharing, but I'm trying to participate in my recovery. I was thinking about when it says, I can't go on like this. Well, it's a sincere and despairing appeal. I can't go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. And it reminds me of I was 6 years sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been separated from drugs and alcohol, and my life had been completely turned around. And I had everything to live for, but I was so stuck in the food. The scale was reading over 260 pounds. I was physically ill and like spiritually bankrupt, and I was just desperate. And I didn't know that there could be help for me. I really didn't. I thought, this can't be sobriety. This can't be how this life is supposed to be going. And I was introduced to A Vision for You, and I knew that the steps had worked for me around drugs and alcohol. And when I heard about that I had a physical allergy to alcoholic foods, and that there was like real abstinence, and that I actually could be recovered from this if I were to get separated from the food, and if I were to go through the steps and get connected to God in a way that I never had been, that I would be given the power that would allow me to not have to be completely obsessed and consumed by food addiction. I never thought I could be separated. I never thought I would be in a normal sized body. I never thought that I would be okay in life. And today, all of those things have happened for me, and I'm just so grateful, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Megan. Vicky T. in Florida, please join us.
Hi, Susan. Hi, everybody. This is Vicky T., and I'm in Florida, recovered. And today is actually 90 days for me, and it's not just abstinence this time. I never knew what it actually meant to be recovered. And I was also taught that abstinence was the most important thing. And I've been able to be abstinent for years at a time, but my brain was never abstinent. And so I've been in a spiritual gym, GYM, like fitness. I call it my spiritual gym because I just recently met God about 60 days ago. And so it's just been like a bulking, like in terms of a bodybuilder, like when they go on the bulking stage and they just put on a lot of bulk. So I've been putting on my spiritual bulk. And everything has been great because everything's been going my way. And something happened that didn't go my way. And this was like the first where the difference between the men and the boys. This is the first, you know, God said, okay, you got your muscles now. Now you got to use them. And, you know, having an opportunity to get neutral. So basically what I'm saying is, and I've heard this before, so don't give me credit, but step six becomes my step one, and learning how to be neutral and sane when life happens, and living life on life's terms and not getting what I want. I read something somewhere about God help me not want what, let me give you what I want and what I don't want. I thought that was just, you know, incredible, and just seeing my powerlessness and recognizing that I don't have any control over my brain, that the compulsion is just as strong and as painful as the obsession with the food. And I'm so grateful that I'm not completely out of it, but I have a little bit of freedom. I have a lot of freedom compared to a couple of days ago. And what I've been doing is I've been just taking one, like God has been directing me, and it has been some help from folks, from fellows, and from this amazing, delicious program. God has been directing it. And it just reminds me of just like, you know, I cannot stop. That's how I was with the eating. I just could not stop. And when my brain sometimes goes into obsession, I get that way. What a gift that this program focuses on these things that help me to live a regular life, whereas before I was just in bondage to myself. So thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. So if you didn't get to share today, please come back tomorrow. And if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor, please stay on the line. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., would you like to take us out with Vision for You?
This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.